The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again via the magic of Zoom on Thursday, May 25th. 2023 Kings. My guests today are the Laughing Man and two others. They are Sam Levine, Rob Savage, and Jeff Tate. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey,
how's it going?
Good, thanks. Let's meet everybody individually, starting with the newbie joining us for the first time. It's the director of Host, and now in theaters on June 2nd, The Boogeyman. It's Rob Savage. Hello, Rob.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I was yelling into my phone like you're in England, but you are here in the States.
Yes, yeah, you can still yell at me. It's fine.
Okay, and you're doing lots of promoting of your Boogeyman motion picture based on this Stephen King short story.
Yeah, I've been running around town doing special screenings and doing a whole bunch of press. It's out next week. And yeah, and I'm exhausted to my very core.
It's a lot, but it must be pretty satisfying watching it, you know, seeing the movie play with audiences because, you know, it's got your jump scares. It's a scary.
It's pretty jumpy. It's a
jumpy
pretty
movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty gratifying one to watch with a crowd. It's like, it's kind of like a tick list. It's got a bunch of scares, and every single one you can kind of sit there in the back and be like, "Yep, that one got him." Nice scream from that one.
Yeah, I don't remember a cat ever coming into play, so I admire your restraint in that area.
Yeah, it's on the floor.
Congrats on making a not only a banger of a horror movie, but one that is a tight 98 minutes.
Yeah. I think it's 93 without the credits. And there's no Marvel post-credit sequence. So you can bugger off after 93 minutes and go home.
I want to sit and admire all the names of all these people who helped make the Boogeyman possible.
Rightly so.
One of the coolest things in the movie, we'll get to my other two guests in a second, but they haven't directed anything that's coming out soon. One of the coolest things in the movie to me is the moon ball that your little girl protagonist plays with and sleeps with at night. But I just heard today that that was initially supposed to be something else.
Yeah, so the little kid, Vivian Lyra Blair, who plays Sawyer, our youngest character, I'd completely forgotten this, and we didn't think about it when casting her, but she's young Princess Leia in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Mm-hmm. And we had her character originally kind of staving off the darkness with a crappy knockoff lightsaber that she would sleep with in the bed, which is what I used to have as a kid. I used to have this kind of like tacky lightsaber that used to fritz all the time. And Disney, when they put two and two together and realized that we were going to have Princess Leia with this like crappy knockoff lightsaber, they did not like the cross-pollination. And so we had to, like, about 2 weeks before the shoot, we had to scramble to rewrite all of these scare scenes, which had been conceived with this lightsaber toy. Well, literally, the production office was full of lightsabers. We were all just messing around with them and taking our frustrations out on them. And then we came up with, we basically just Googled, like, what's a kid's toy that makes a lot of light? And we found this really cool glowing moon. And in an afternoon, just rewrote all of the scare scenes to be including this. And it's like the best bit of the movie now. So it was a happy accident.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the lightsaber bit, you know, that sounds super fun and logical, you know, within the story. But that moon ball was just like, whoever makes moon balls, you're going to make them a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. I should have invested.
Get moon ball stock while you still can. The movie doesn't come out till June 2nd. We'll That's cut this tip. Part out of the podcast. But yeah, it's a really great effect, because I've always gone back to the Changeling with George C. Scott,
yes,
and the rolling ball in that is so scary, but the ball in this movie kind of represents like it's helping her, but at the same time that sound of the rolling ball is so creepy.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I'm so glad you picked up on the Changeling. That's completely where we ripped it off from. I was like, as soon as I saw that moon ball, I was like, oh, great, we can do the Changeling. That's great.
But yeah, and again, you showed restraint in not having it slowly bounce down some stairs.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's the only area in which I showed restraint.
Well, anyway, the movie's out. Like I said, in theaters, where June it's 2nd. June 2nd. Also here today, returning off of a recent win, it's Sam the Man Levine. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Rob. Hey. That's it. That's all that's been it? Introduced so far. Those are the only people I will address until proper introductions.
I see. Well, that's... Mm-hmm. Then I guess I should just introduce him right away to yep. take him out of this silent gulag that you forced him into. he's another returning champ after his win in Rosemont against his own brother.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's Jeff. Tate. Hey, Jeff.
Tate.
Hello.
Tate. I have to do it at home for the people doing it in their cars.
People are sad that the chanting's not there when we do it in this intimate way. Rob, at least Rob's not having to deal with the intimidation. I've seen some guests come on the show and in front of a live audience, and when Jeff shows up and they all start chanting his name, mm-hmm. They get a little, they get a little worried about how they're going to do. Are you much of a trivia person, Rob?
I'm a bit rusty, I gotta say, and now I'm especially haunted.
Well, you know, it's all in the name of fun. Some children do die if you don't win, but other than that,
I'm used to that.
Yeah, if you're used to that happening,
my wheelhouse
this shouldn't be an issue. But before we have you take on these two monsters of movie trivia, I have a segment I do on the show each time where I ask each of my guests to recommend a movie from a particular category that happens to interest me at that time. And today, for some reason, I was thinking about, I'd like each of you to recommend a good underdog story, a movie about the underdog triumphing in some way. We'll start with Sam because he's always ready to answer these kinds of questions.
Hmm. Good underdog story. Well, I recently watched one that I think fits the bill, and it was fun.
See, that's what I'm saying.
It's the 80s classic, One Crazy Summer.
What?
Oh, yes. Wow.
They're taking the property developers want to buy the family property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to buy it from what's her face?
Demi Moore.
Demi Moore, thank you. And they start, it's an underdog. You know, who beats the property people? You can't go up against big property.
No, I mean, have you seen those property brothers? They are tall.
Those are big dudes.
I've never
a couple of Goliaths there.
They're like two Daniel Day-Lewis's in There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
But there's two of them.
Yeah.
All right. One Crazy Summer. That's an interesting choice, but they are underdogs. They do succeed in the end. They show, you know, the corporate overlords lose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they, I believe they are all dancing around on a beach at the end.
I believe it is correct.
Our friend Bobcat Goldthwait is in that one.
Yep. And Joel Murray and Curtis Armstrong.
Yeah, I met those guys, but I would not call them my friend.
I understand.
You know, we haven't crossed that threshold yet.
Yeah,
it'll happen.
But they're super nice, though, both of them. But right. Both of them would have to be reminded of where we met. You know what I mean? I think that's the definition of when you've not reached friend status, when you have to remind somebody. Mm-hmm. When you first met or when you met previously.
Also, One Crazy Summer, written and directed by Savage Steve Holland. Rob, any relation?
Oh, yeah. All our savages. Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't put together there's in the world of directors, there's two savages now, but one is in quotes and one is for real.
It can only be one.
Yeah. One guy's just calling himself a savage, which I never understood, because by all accounts, Savage Steve Holland's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Like everybody said, he's a dream to work with. So it's funny that I guess Savage is.
That'll be the thing. That'll be the thing that differentiates us then. I'm a nightmare to work with.
You just keep the cast terrified the entire time.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think that's, are you in a particular wheelhouse, or is horror just one area you like to explore in your filmmaking?
No, I love horror. I kind of feel like in horror you can do anything, you know, like so long as you scare the audience, so long as there's decapitations and monsters and demons, the rest of the time you can do whatever you want, you know, like I look at like something like Hereditary, and it's like that's like a kind of dour Ingmar Bergman family drama that just happens to have demonic levitations and decapitations. So I think I kind of get to do the best of both in horror.
Yeah, well, don't, you know, you just look at Shakespeare and you know how he's got like ghosts and shit in his plays. Like if he had the special effects of today, if he knew about them,
if you made the Blumhouse movie,
exactly. okay, so Rob, do you have a underdog story that you would recommend?
Yeah, you tell me if this qualifies as an underdog story. I think it does. It's like a subversion of the underdog story. But I was talking about it with somebody the other day. I can't remember who. It's the movie Dark Horse by Todd Solondz, which is kind of a play on the familiar underdog story. It's got this character who's a kind of basement dwelling like loser who lives with his mom. And it's almost like the anti-Garden State. You know, it's a movie, it's like Todd Solondz's version of Garden State, where like, you know, in Garden State, you've got this character who's you know, a complete loser and who just stares at his shoes the whole movie. And then Natalie Portman comes and plays in the shins and saves his life, even though he's not really doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. And in Dark Horse, you have this underdog character who makes no effort. And Selma Blair comes along for a little bit, but ultimately Todd Solondz just has the character get jaundice and die.
And the underdog wins again, the underdog being jaundice, I guess.
Which I think is really what happens when you dwell in your basement and don't make any effort. So it's an underdog it's an underdog movie in some respect. Okay, fine.
I mean, you know, of all the filmmakers, I'd say he's one where you know, saying something like the main character dies at the end, it's not like, you know, it's not like that's a surprise of in any way, especially when you get to that point in the movie.
Yeah, it was probably a wise choice for that character.
Yeah, yeah, and so
victory of sorts.
Yeah, it won't ruin our enjoyment of the film to know that ahead of time.
No.
Jeff, this is so far we got some really interesting options here.
Yeah. I was trying to think of sports movies, and now I can't think of any sports movies.
We are rewriting what the expression underdog means today.
How about Bring It On?
It doesn't have to be sports.
I've never seen really, Bring It On.
I don't think. I also don't feel like the girls in Bring It On are really underdog. They're good not. At what they do. They're clearly good at it.
Right.
But they just appropriated too much from another. You know, another squad.
I guess it is an underdog story if you look at it from the Compton team. They're the underdog and they win.
Right, but, you know, unfortunately the movie's not about them.
Yeah.
It's about a white girl named Torrance. I mean, you've been to Torrance, haven't you, Sam?
I have. I sure have. Yeah.
Apologies to anybody who's been or listening. Torrance. <Yep. laughs>
It's always where somebody lives in a movie when they want to show that it's like close to LA, but it definitely isn't.
Well, no, she doesn't live in Torrance. Her name is Torrance, right?
Yeah.
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 Torrance Shipman. So Jeff, I mean, the movie's satirical somewhat. So like it's, you know, they named her that to be funny, but Jeff, what's your underdog movie?
I'm going to say Attack the Block.
Now we're talking.
Right, movie. Okay.
Yeah. They should not have won. Those aliens were the clear favorites.
Just like the Property Brothers.
Yep. So that was a ragtag gang of underdogs.
Yeah, it's a very similar story to One Crazy Summer.
Yep.
It's just blacker and Britisher.
Yeah.
And less beach.
It's a lot more inside, but yes, it's still.
Mm-hmm. But that is a terrific movie, and it does qualify as an underdog story. Thanks for those recommendations, fellas. We're going to play some games right after this break.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back, and this first game I would like to play today is called Let's Boogie, Man.
I see what you did there.
Yep. Having some fun with the word boogie. I'll say a fact. This is how this game works. I'll say a fact. Could be fun. Probably won't be. And then you tell me if this fact applies to Roller Boogie from 1979, mm-hmm. or the acclaimed Boogie Nights from 1997,
ooh.
Or neither.
Oh.
So Jeff will be up first. I'll give you the fact. You'll tell me if it's applies to Roller Boogie, Boogie Nights, or neither. And if he misses it, Rob, then you get a chance from the remaining two answers.
Okay.
If you miss it, then Sam is the beneficiary of the gimme point. Each time somebody gets one right, the next person in order will go first. Ready, Jeff?
I am ready.
All right. This is just for Jeff. He's got three options to choose from. Has a character in it named Pistol Pete. Is that Roller Boogie Nights or neither?
I'm going to say Roller Boogie.
That, my friend, is incorrect.
Oh,
cool.
But I loved your, I felt like you really knew that one the way you said it.
Like you did.
I know.
So Rob, is Pistol Pete a character in Boogie Nights or not either of those movies?
It feels like you're dangling a carrot. Like, it feels like obviously it would be a character in Boogie Nights, but I'm going to say actually it's neither.
Oh, so you're already trying to figure out my twisted mind games.
Trying.
And succeeding. That is correct. It is, in fact, from neither.
I kind of created a false memory of Boogie Nights, though, with a character called Pistol Pete. Like, I'd done a whole thing in my head.
Yeah. It does seem like that could have happened, especially because at one point, Don Cheadle's character goes through a cowboy phase.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have been or worked with Pistol Pete. But Pistol Pete is actually a character from a motion picture called Skate Town USA.
Oh, I always get that in Roller Boogie.
That one came out in 1979 as well. All right, so Rob is on the board. Sam, you're up first on this next one.
Here we go.
Boogie Nights, Roller Boogie, or neither, mm-hmm. has the line, "You smell like a patchouli fart."
Let's see.
You gonna break it down?
Well, I know that that's not in Boogie Nights.
You memorized that one?
I have memorized that film. And it's been a hot minute since I definitely watched Roller Boogie. I think I know what movie that is, and I'm pretty sure I know who the lead is, but I don't want to say it out loud because that could give something away. So you smell like a patchouli fart.
Now you're just repeating it back, right?
I'm just saying it out loud, man.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to say Roller Boogie.
Wow, after all of that.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
All right. Well, you know, I tried to logic it out.
You tried.
I tried.
Jeff?
I'm going to say neither.
Yeah, because Sam really helped you with all this logic over there.
I don't think Jeff would have guessed Boogie Nights.
Really contributed. I don't know.
I don't think if
he would have, but it is neither is the correct answer. So,
yeah,
congratulations, Jeff. You're on the board. That line is actually from Paul Thomas Anderson's Inherent Vice.
Ah, well, sure, mm-hmm. but that's
which takes that's place. Also in the 70s.
It's true.
Yeah. So it's
I don't know that one as
super
well.
Tricky.
As I know Boogity Nights.
Boogity boogity. Rob, you're up next.
Right.
Which movie, Roller Boogie or Boogie Nights or neither, has the tagline "The Rock and Roller Disco Movie of the Year"?
I'm gonna say Roller Boogie.
That's incorrect. Sam.
The Rock and Roller Disco Movie of the Year.
Yeah. Rob guessed
he says Roller Boogie. Roller Boogie. I do not see that. So I'm going to say neither.
You're going to say neither because your logic being that
I don't see that silly a tagline being associated.
Boogie Nights is not a rock and roller disco movie.
I mean, there's some disco and there's some rolling.
Rock and roll, rolling. Yeah, that's true. Roller Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your answer again?
It's neither.
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah, that was so suspenseful. But guess what movie that was the tagline for?
King Kong.
No.
1933's King Kong.
No, it was for Skate Town USA.
Sit upon it.
Had the nerve to call itself the roller disco movie of the year in the same year as Boogie Nights.
Go to a roller boogie Skate Town USA double feature at the New Bev? Is that what happened?
No, I don't have to go. I don't have to sit through these things to come up with questions about them. But I have seen them in the past. But that tied everything up. We got a three-way tie. We got to get a winner of this game before we can move on. So this one, all three players are in, but we're going to go in the same order. Jeff, you get to go first. Closest without going over, the runtime of the motion picture Boogie Nights, including the credits and the scenes that hype up Marvel movies in the future.
Okay, I'm gonna say 2 hours and 37 minutes, 157 minutes.
Okay. Rob, what do you think?
I'm gonna say 239.
And Sam?
Oh, you said Price is Right rules, closest to that going over?
Yeah.
1 minute.
What?
I'm bidding $1.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love a strategist. I love, you know how I love most jisms, but especially strategism. This is uncanny that both Jeff and Rob went over. The movie is 2 hours and 35 minutes long. So Sam wins the one and only time we play Let's Boogie Man. Sam took it down. Congratulations, Sam.
Thank you very much.
But we're just getting started. We got to play the game that's going to decide it all. We're going to play that after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back, and Sam, of course, knows what he won by winning the Let's Boogie Man game. And what is that, Sam?
I won the coveted Benson Cup.
No, that's not a thing.
I know, it's not true. I get to go first in the next very silly game.
But I am going to start writing my name on some jock straps and handing them out to the winner, calling it the Benson game. Cup.
Whoever wins the first game, just toss them the cup.
You win the Benson Cup.
There you go.
It means you get to go first in our next game. And then also, how do you feel about going first, Sam?
You know, sometimes it's very advantageous. Sometimes it is most disadvantageous. Like that last game we just played. I got to be in the catbird seat.
Right. Wasn't a bad seat at all, was it?
Yeah, it's a pretty good seat.
But when the person who's first knows the answer, then that's the best combination of them
all.
That's
true, but that was a tough one to have to guess to be on the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to play a game now where Sam gets to go first. Then we'll go to Rob, and then we'll go to Jeff. And it's a new twist on an old game, and so now it's called Whose Gag Line Is It Anyway? I'll say a line from a comedy motion picture. Let's say alleged, so I don't get into trouble.
Okay.
With people yelling at me, that's not a comedy. I'll say, or that movie's not funny. I'll say a line from a comedy, and then your job is to tell me either the actor who said it,
ooh,
the character who said it,
ooh,
or the name of the movie.
Ooh.
If you get, okay, and if you can name any of those three things, you get a point, but then you also can get two more bonus points if you can name the other two out of the three,
wow,
options.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, we'll go to each one at a time, starting with Sam gets the first one.
Okay.
And, you know, move on to Jeff after Sam knocks it out of the park.
Well, you know, if you're going to keep quoting Roller Girl, no, it was. Oh, the one, it was Linda Blair was the lead of that movie, right?
Roller Boogie, yes, indeed. Roller Boogie.
Okay, okay. All right, that is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's so many things to confuse Roller Boogie with.
Well, you know, I thought it was the disco roller movie of the rock and roll, but I was wrong.
No, that was one of those, you know, volcano Dante's Peak situations where where two disco roller skating movies came out at the same time and they both, yep, suffered.
Yep.
They both have not gotten the attention they deserve. All right. Okay. So Sam's up first, like I said. Okay. And oh, also, I'm not going to try to imitate the actor or actress who said the line. Instead, I'm going to say them all with this silly voice.
Great.
Oh, are you ready?
Yes.
Ooh, here we go. All right. That's not the line from the movie. Oh. All right. Sam,
yep,
I need the actor, the character of the movie that said this line. Gentlemen, start your boners.
Oh wow. I was just enjoying you saying it with that very silly voice.
Right. I think it should have, they should have said it that way in the movie.
Oh man.
Instead, it said very, very seriously, sincerely.
It is. No, and what's terrible is I do know the movie, but I can't remember who says it.
I mean, when it's time to start boners, you don't joke around about it.
Yeah, well, no, I'm trying to remember if I can. I mean, I guess I get free guesses, right? If I say the name of the movie and I'm correct, do I get to guess at the rest?
No, you just have to, you can guess the name of the movie correct. And if you're right, then, you know, then you can go for the bonus points. But
okay.
You just have to get something right to get the bonus points.
Fair enough. Well, I know that is from Bachelor Party.
All right. So you're on the board. You got a point. But now, can you name the character or the actor? Oh,
man. I'm killing myself because I know it's not Hank's character who says it. And I am blanking on his buddy's name, both the actor and the character. So I will erroneously say Tom Hanks.
Okay. That's incorrect.
I know.
He plays the, you know, he's the like guy. Yeah, he's the nice else guy. Is, yeah. he's the good guy and his best friend, I guess, probably the top friend is the one who says that his name is Jay and he's played by Adrian's Med.
Okay. All right, I don't feel that bad.
Hey, come on, the great Adrian's a man.
I'm taking nothing away from him. I'm just saying it wasn't like I had accidentally forgot that Willem Dafoe played the best friend in Bachelor Party. And I totally blanked on it. Oh, no.
It wasn't a real star-making machine, that Bachelor Party. It really just only seemed to work out for Tom Hanks and the lady that did those Whitesnake videos.
Tawny Katane. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember. I didn't think she said, gentlemen, start your boners.
Yeah. No, she's like in a nun habit at one point when he's fantasizing about having, it's weird. Okay. So, Rob, it's your turn.
Yeah.
You get to go first.
Mm-hmm.
Character, actor, motion picture. And here's the line. You sit on a throne of lies.
Ah. Oh, I know this one. Do it one more time. Do it one more time.
You sit on a throne of lies. Ooh.
Oh,
that voice is making it so harsh,
right? It really fucks with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got no idea. I'm gonna just it sounds like maybe something that somebody would improvise in like a Judd Apatow, one of those things. I'm gonna throw Superbad out there. It's not that, but I'm gonna throw it out there just to throw something.
That's not a terrible guess, but that's incorrect.
Ah.
Jeff,
I'm going to
these should say, get easier, by the way.
Oh, thank God. I'm going to say Will Ferrell says it.
What did you just say?
Will Ferrell.
That is correct. It is Will Ferrell.
You sit on a throne of lies.
What's the character's name and the movie?
I'm going to say, I don't know why I start my sentence like that. Of course, whatever I say is what I'm going to say. Anchorman Ron Burgundy.
Those are great guesses. That was a real valiant effort, but I like that you figured out that it was Will Ferrell. It's from when he played Buddy the Elf in the motion picture Elf.
Boy, I wish I'd gotten to go second. I could have. See, right? It worked against me, Doug.
That's that would have been
a 1-2-3 slam dunk.
Yeah, you would have really chalked up the points there, but unfortunately, we're back to you again, though, Sam.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Right?
Oh, right. Yeah, because I guess I'd be going next. Okay.
Yeah. So you're up.
Okay.
You got this.
All right. Let's see.
You've already got 1 point on the board. Jeff's got a point. Rob's still in this, though.
Okay.
He's got the eye of the tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, here's the line.
Okay.
Eat my shorts.
Well, let's see. I feel like that definitely is said in a particular film that I'm thinking of, but I wonder if you're thinking of a different film, do I still get any points?
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't care if it's said in 100 movies. It has to be the one that I wrote down.
I see.
On this piece of paper. But I mostly associate it, though, actually with, I can't think of any other movies it's in, but it's definitely, it was Bart Simpson's catchphrase for a while. And also local LA radio guy, Rick Dees, liked to say it a lot.
Yeah.
But it was in a motion picture. What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, I was going to say The Simpsons Movie, but clearly since you said it was Bart Simpson's catchphrase for a while, I don't think you would have just thrown that out there if that were the correct answer.
And I don't think he says it in the movie because I don't think they would, you know, cowabunga was another one. Like he had phrases that were like things people already said, you know, and The Simpsons writers were more clever than that.
Right. Oh my God. But I know I've heard it though in other things. I'm trying to.
Oh, let me say this though. Let me say this to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Eat my shorts.
The Breakfast Club, said by Judd Nelson.
Wow.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
You don't have the third thing?
Oh, it's
to really show off.
I only know his last name. Does that count?
Well, do you think we should play Jeopardy rules?
Yes.
Then his last name would be good.
It's Bender. Oh.
You are right on all three counts.
That's impressive.
3 points for Sam. Giving him a whopping total of 4 points. But Rob, here's your chance to get on the board with 3 points.
Okay, let's see.
Are you ready?
Can I tell you something, Doug? It was when you said it the second time.
Oh, did I sound too much really, like Judd Nelson?
Because he says it, eat my short. Like, that's how he says it.
Right. Because, the principal makes him repeat it. He says, right. I dare you to say that again.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe my reading was too close to it. So I apologize. I apologize to all the contestants, and we'll edit that part out of the program. all right, this next one, I'm really looking at it like I can't say it like they say it in the movie. Okay, you ready, Rob?
Ready, I'm ready.
As if.
That's Clueless, right?
That is correct. Who says it, and what's the name of the performer? Actor.
It's just I'm let me buy some time. Say it again.
Okay. As if.
It's was it Alicia Silverstone or something like that? Is that the name?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't for the life of me remember the character's name.
Oh. If
you say it one more time, I'll remember.
As if. As if.
No, not quite.
Here, let me do it. I'll do an impression that might help you to get it right. As if, snap out of it.
Wait a minute, that should.
I appreciate
it. No, it's just the show's just become bring on a distinguished director and have people laugh at him. What are you guys?
I appreciate all the help you're giving me. I think I'm going to stick with my two.
No, it's it was just a stupid Moonstruck joke because her name in the movie is Cher.
Spelled
just like Cher of Sunny and Fame.
Yeah.
Like I need to bring up Sunny to tell people who Cher is. all right, Rob, so that's 2 points for you, man. You're killing it. Jeff goes first on this next one. Ready, Jeff?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Did I stutter? Okay. All right. I'm going to guess Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Incorrect.
All right.
Sam,
that's tough affair.
You're still on the board, buddy.
Yeah.
Sam's got a double digit. No, wait, that's not right. He's ahead.
Yes.
And it's my guess.
Yeah.
I think that is also said by Judd Nelson in The Breakfast Club.
As who?
As Bender.
That is correct.
That's insane.
It's three. In the same scene. It's in the same emo short scene.
I thought I was hallucinating when you said it.
You were supposed to say to yourself, why would it be this? Why would it come up again? That can't possibly be right.
That's exactly what my thought was.
Plus, Did I Stutter is another one. Like, John Hughes was very good at writing screenplays where most of the things they say are just expressions he made up, like not ones from, they're actually out in the vernacular. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Did I Stutter has always stood out to me because people have said that in a ton of things.
Yeah. So did he Stanley said it on The Office.
Did he come up with Eat My Shorts then?
What's that?
Did he come up with Eat My Shorts? Or was that already a thing?
That's the question. I don't know which came first, but most of at one point, Judd Nelson calls somebody a neo-maxi Zune dweeby, and nobody had ever put any of those words together ever before. And that was...
Visionary.
Like all of John Hughes movies, if you watch them, they don't have references that are dated because they just make up their own expressions.
Wow.
And most of the dialogue and stuff stays on story.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but actually Eat My Shorts, Shakespeare came up
with. Oh, right. Right, yeah. Right. But it was pantaloons or something else. Like something.
That's right.
It was something.
Nibble sillier. On me pantaloons.
Sillier sounding. Okay. We gotta get serious about this competition. Rob, you got a chance to get 3 points here and get, you know, within scratching distance of Sam's whopping 8 points.
Yeah.
Here we go. He slimed me.
That's Ghostbusters, I think. And Bill Murray, and I don't know his character name.
And we found your weak spot is the character names.
I've only seen that movie once, weirdly. It was a blind spot for me. Yeah. You know, I only saw that movie for the first time like 3 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
80s blind spot.
I had no idea it took so long to get that movie to the UK.
Yeah, it's huge there now.
Wow. <That's wild.
laughs> Did you follow through with Ghostbusters 2?
I haven't yet. You know, I've got a bit of a Bill Murray thing. I love him so much
you don't want to see his movies.
I think because I missed this whole wave of Bill Murray 80s comedy. Like, I came to them really late. I've been slowly kind of doing my homework, but it's like there's a certain kind of brand of obnoxious comedy that like the whole time the movie's kind of like, I mean, this is, the internet's going to destroy me for this, but it's like the whole time in these movies they're kind of like nudging you and being like, he's an asshole, but you love him, right? You love him, right? And I'm like, no, I don't. He's an asshole.
Yeah, well, that's what they do now, is they talk about like Tony Soprano and everybody on Succession and talk about, you know, the concept of the anti-hero. But they don't realize that the anti-heroes used to be like just openly openly horrible, but were the hero of the story somehow. Yeah. And it is weird to go back and look at early Bill Murray and early, you know, Chevy Chase and, you know, just a bunch of those kind of performers. Their early stuff was Tom Hanks too, a little bit.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
early stuff was like, oh, the we're supposed to root for this really obnoxious carrot person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
what was his name? What was his name?
Oh, well, that's also the funny thing is that you know, he wears a name tag during much of the film. So like that's also should be helpful, but seeing it only the one time 3 years ago, I totally get where you're coming from. His name's Peter Venkman. They all have like fun, like kind of like scientist names, you know, like the names that make them sound like nerds before you even meet them.
Yeah.
All right. We're getting down to it, Jeff. You've only got 1 point, so just to get in the mix here, you got to tear this one up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
This one goes to 11. All right. It is Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap. Christopher Guest says it. And his name is.
I'm gonna give Rob a point if he knows it.
I get both. I get their names confused. Is it Nigel? He's Nigel Saint Nigel. I don't know.
What is it, Rob?
I don't know.
Sam, do you know?
Charity,
I do. I sure do.
It's Tufnell, right?
Tufnell, yeah. Nigel Tufnell.
Oh, see, that came into my head, and then I thought that was a real guy.
And then David St. Hubbins is McKean.
David St. Hubbins. I thought Nigel Tufnell was in, like, ELO or something when it popped into my head.
You're thinking of Bev Bevan.
Yes, yes.
That is so weird. All right. So... you got 2 points there, Jeff. So that puts you, you got a respectable 3 points, but, you know, no chance to catch up to Sam. So I'm going to have to call it. Do you want one more, Sam, for fun?
Sure.
All right.
Laugh it up, Fuzzball.
I could listen to you read movie lines.
You might have to. It might be the show from now on is just me reading movie lines in a dumb voice.
Oh wow. Well, I know. Damn. I know who says it. That's Harrison Ford says it to Chewbacca. But I honestly can't remember which of the trilogy that's.
So that would get you, you know, that would get you 1 point in this game, and then you'd have to come up with the which movie it was.
Can I say Han Solo and that?
Yes, that's 2 points. Okay. So now you just have to figure out which movie it was in.
I will say that's in Return of the Jedi.
Boo.
All right.
Okay.
Which one's it in, Rob?
I'm going to say the first Star Wars, A New Hope.
No. Jeff?
It is Empire Strikes Back, and it's in that medical room.
Yeah, yeah.
So that people knew that I wasn't just going by elimination.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it could have been. Yeah, that's true. I don't think they'd hold a line that good for all the way until Force Awakens.
No.
Well, so congratulations, Jeff. You got one more last minute point there, but
yes.
But Sam is still our winner today. Congratulations, Sam Levine.
Thank you so much, Doug. In the future, if you could take quotes from movies that I was in a movie that specifically parodied that scene of, that would be great.
Do you want another run at that sentence?
No,
it turned into a real nightmare at the end.
Did it? Well, I'll walk you through it. Let me break it down for you. In Not Another Teen Movie, we parody the scene where the late great Paul Gleason comes in and gets into that spat with Judd Nelson.
Uh-huh.
And we parody that exact scene.
So that's why we got
Paul Gleason. So I watched the movie, of course, a bunch, but I saw that specific scene like 30 times before we shot that. So
right,
that's why it
came back to me. That's why you recognized his delivery in my voice when I was trying to not sound like
my shorts.
In my shorts. okay, so my shorts usually. what would you like to promote, Sam Levine?
Look, Father's Day's coming up, and
oh my god,
you know, here you are, you're like, I didn't get my dad anything, I screwed up. It's not too late. Cameo, I am on Cameo, Sam with two M's Levine. I do fantastic messages. I turned into Trump there. Nobody does. Messages.
They're huge.
Like I do messages.
You do the biggest messages.
It's the biggest. Everyone says I do the best messages. No, I got, after I was on the show last time, I'm very happy to report a lot of people reached out to me to do Mother's Day cameos. And look, I'm not going to brag, but I am going to brag. 5 stars across the board. Okay.
Okay.
I don't phone my cameos in, people. They are crazy. Right. They are caring. And I would love to do a cameo for Father's Day. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, you clearly don't phone those in because you sell the shit out of your promotion of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a consummate professional.
I try.
Rob Savage, thank you so much for participating in this.
Thank you. That was fun.
I'm glad you had a good time. And let's tell everybody once again to see The Boogeyman in theaters.
June 2nd. Go with a big group of people, crack a couple of beers, unless you're under the age of, how old can you drink in this country? 18. Yes,
21.
21.
It should be 18. I'm sure, you know, some people figure out a way to make it happen. And yeah, it's a very exciting movie with a crowd. So do yourselves a favor, see it that way. And anytime you want to come back, Rob, if you want to, just let me know.
Oh no, the victory was close this time. I feel I'm going to watch every single 80s movie I can get my hands on.
Yeah. And then you'll come back and I'll be in the middle of like having a fixation with Pixar or something. Yeah. Like you never know. You never know what genre or time period I'm going to be.
It's a shame those
into
disco roller movies were both 1979. You're just going to miss them.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff Tate, what do you got to plug, buddy?
June 24th, I'm at the Infinity Room in Salem, Oregon. It's a Saturday. Jeez. Come on out.
That's a fun place, Salem, Oregon.
Yeah, this room is super cool too. Like it's got a real fun backdrop. Let me just say that.
Come for the backdrop, but stay for Jeff's act. Don't leave just because the backdrop was satisfying.
But you will be satisfied by the backdrop. I'm just gravy. It's just you're gonna have a good night.
All right, and I just want to say that I got a show coming up, two shows, stand up and Douglas movies, at Ever After. Wait, is that what it's called? After Ever. it's part of the Crocodile Rock Club in Seattle, and doing two shows there in July, and it's pretty intimate, so those are gonna sell out, and I think Jeff Tate's gonna be there as well, so get your tickets. Also, you can go to the link at douglasmovies.com, and also Douglas Movies is back at Dicey Typewriter in Los Angeles on Sunday, June 4th at 4:20. One more time, thank you to all of my guests, Sam Levine, Rob Savage, and Jeff Tate. And as always, sincerely yours, The Breakfast Club.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug